Greetings again. I'd like to share a little bit about my background and what led me here. I was born in Buffalo, New York in 1944 on D-Day, and I grew up in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Big change. I should have been used to big changes by then. At any rate, my parents were from the South, and they brought with them the traditions, the mores, the social covenants, whatever you want to call it, and the language, and a little bit of the food, although my mother was a terrible cook. But I had a good childhood in Oklahoma, and I had a great education, which included many extracurricular activities, including music, a little dance, riding horses, riding bikes, pretty free, pretty nice childhood. I was blessed with that good education, and when I moved on in my life, I began to ask some of those questions that we talked about earlier. What do I believe? Why do I believe it? What do you believe? And what happens to us when our bodies are no longer here? And I wanted to throw in something else that I just thought of. I think I started being interested in philosophy when my younger sister was born. I was 4 years old. She had blue eyes. I have brown eyes. And I really wondered if she saw things the same way I did. Of course, one can never know the answer to that question. It's all about perception. But I worried about it a lot. Funny thing to worry about, right? In Oklahoma, the prevailing religions were pretty fundamentalist Christian. Some we would probably call Christian nationalists or white Christianity. Segregation was rampant, although we always had a black maid, and she was my other mother. But that led to more questions. I thought some people believed some kind of strange things, but I was interested. We did attend a congregational church once in a while, not very often, basically unchurched, until I was a teenager, and then I got interested, and then I liked it, and I liked the music. And when I got big enough to reach the organ pedals, they even let me play the organ sometimes. That was somewhat of a disaster, but I liked it. At any rate, I was curious, and I was often invited to attend some of those other churches with some of my friends. And I was learning, and I was enjoying it, and some of them had really good parties, especially the Methodists. And there were boys there. I liked that. At any rate, I went on to college, learned some more, got to be serious about these questions, and started really asking more questions. I was heading toward a career in some kind of science, because I thought that was a great way to explain the world and some of the questions I kept asking. But I also remained interested in spirituality and religion. And as I said earlier, I began to learn the difference. The religious dogma, churches, and spirituality are not necessarily the same things. But I continued to explore. When it was time for me to graduate from high school and go to college, I did that. And I was blessed, again, and very privileged to attend some good colleges. It was kind of interesting. I'd attended the same grade school for 6 years, the same high school for 6 years, and five different colleges. Couldn't make up my mind, or stuff happened. At any rate, I became more curious and eventually ended up studying more philosophy than science. Philosophy of science. That was a real eye-opener. And I was, again, not getting answers. I was coming up with more questions and just trying to explore this stuff. And I did attend a Unitarian church in Oklahoma City for a while. And I did like that. It's kind of stuck with me. And it seemed to make more sense than some of the others. But as I said, I began to understand the difference between spirituality and religion. Eventually, my mother passed away, not suddenly, after a long illness. And immediately, I got married and moved with my husband to Tucson, Arizona. That was a big culture shock. The war was going on. There were demonstrations happening. Tucson was very liberal compared to Oklahoma. And I began to learn that there was more than one way to look at things. And enjoyed it. It was a lovely place. Then I produced two kids, got divorced, and realized I had to make a living. I had not expected that. Why didn't I expect that? I don't know. At any rate, that's what happened. So back to school I went. back to the University of Arizona, go Wildcats, and in nursing, because that was a good way to make a living, right? It actually was. But life got very difficult. Separated, two babies, not babies anymore, they were growing up. And what was I going to do? Housing, childcare, food, all of those things became paramount, and I didn't have time to worry about anything else. But what happened was I found a friend, a woman friend who was also a nursing student in the same position I was. So we moved in together in a big house. Kids were about the same ages. And so we, you know, teamed two of them up in one room and the baby in another room because he made too much noise, and just worked it all out. And we stayed there for 2 years. Her family became my extended family. And I think some of them might be on the Zoom this morning. If you are, hi. We'll talk later. In New Mexico. They're all in New Mexico now. You know, New Mexico, right? It ain't new and it ain't Mexico. That's another song. Anyway, I enjoyed that. So, settled in Tucson, got a job at a big hospital, working in labor and delivery, which was exactly what I wanted. I did that for a while, got other jobs in the same hospital, and worked there for 33 years until I retired and sought a retirement career. So essentially, I had a really good life in Tucson. But my kids, who were raised in the hot, dry desert, needed to be around water. So Jason moved to New Hampshire, and swims in the open water and goes fishing and does all the things you do around water. And my daughter ended up here in Belfast after traveling around. So I said, all right, that's what happened. You raise your kids in the desert and they're dehydrated. They have to go find water. So a couple of years ago, my daughter settled here in Belfast. And she called me and said, happy 80th birthday, Mom. You better move here because I'm not coming back to Tucson. She didn't put it exactly that way. It was up to me. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought that was an offer I couldn't refuse. So a year ago, just about exactly, I packed up and left my home of 60 years in Tucson. Not the same house, just the same city. And it's been a hell of a year. Big transition, quite traumatic, all kinds of unexpected things have happened. But at the same time, I was really missing my church, my spiritual center. I'm going to back up a little bit. I eventually did discover a spiritual center in the New Thought tradition. It was Unity of Tucson. And I hung out there for a while, listening to the lessons and learning some things and enjoying it. And eventually, a few years ago, the ministers retired and we got a new minister who brought new life, new music, new excitement to this center. And I got very involved. I sang in the choir. I showed up every time anything was happening. I went to the special events. I was asked to be on the board, so I did that for 3 years, and I loved it. And I thought, I'm really going to miss this place and these people and that minister. I'll call him Jay-Z, is his initials. And he counseled me very well when I was trying to decide if I was going to move here. And he did the thing where you write down the pros on one side of the page and the cons on the other, and then you score them. And I had a whole lot more cons than pros for leaving. But he pointed out that the most important ones were my long-term care plan, because I needed one by then, to have somebody around and some family, and the love and kindness of my family, and a new adventure. So anyway, I packed up and left. And things didn't go very smoothly with the house that we were building, and things were just kind of not so good, and it didn't look good for me to be here. So I stayed with some of my extended family in New Mexico, where it's not new and it's not Mexico, and enjoying that very much, and exploring more of my spiritual leanings. So this is a spiritual journey as well as an earthly journey. And the spiritual journey had brought me in very close contact with an old friend that I'd known for many years, 54 years to be exact, and a whole new relationship developed. And I don't think I would be open to that relationship at all if it hadn't been for our spiritual connection. He's of the same set of beliefs that I am, New Thought, that kind of denomination. And so that's what happened on the way here. I stayed there for 4 months, and then I went back again. Anyway, so if you're on, hello. Back up again a little bit. In the year 2000, my son and his family had moved up here also to New Hampshire. But he took the kids with him. Imagine that, my grandchildren. And off they went, off we went. I went with them for the move. And I missed them very much. And I began to kind of feel this spiritual connection even with people who were absent. And those two little kids. Eventually, they produced two more kids. And I have four grandkids and three great-grandkids. So I think I'm in the right place, don't you think? I mean, I think I need to be closer. And I'm here with my daughter, and things are working out, and it's going to be fine. But the spiritual part of this, too, is I developed an appreciation for when people are absent for whatever reason, people or even animals, especially animals, they've crossed the rainbow bridge or they've just moved on to someplace else. Their spirit is still with me if I remember them, the song we just heard. And that was very important. And so I began to make these connections, not only with people, but with spiritual concepts and expressions. And I think that the word transition takes on a whole new meaning. When I was at Unity of Tucson, I never heard the words death and dying or died spoken. It was transition. He or she made his transition. And transition to what? I'm not clear about that. It was spoken about a different dimension, a fourth dimension. It's kind of woo-woo. But there's some truth there. There's some explanation there. If the connections that you leave behind remember you, your spirit is still here, even if they don't remember you. But sometime around 2012, I had started to feel this need for a spiritual community. And I'm really glad I've indulged myself in that and learned about it, and that it eventually brought me here. I had learned some new framing, new framework, new vocabulary that helped me get in my mind what these different concepts might mean and be able to talk about it. I didn't used to talk about it. But because I had become involved and learned that vocabulary, I think that helped. Words matter, you know, and not just because they are. They really express feelings if you let them. I learned and adopted that vocabulary, which included that word transition and spirit and spiritual and not so much religious. Religious indicates a dogma. Spiritual can have a doctrine, and I think that that's true. So the experience of feeling about loss and loved ones, whether they move away, whether they transition to a different dimension, it prevails. So what do I believe to answer that question? I can't answer that question. What do you believe? I definitely can't answer that question. You have to answer that, or you don't have to. But just what do we believe and why? What's the rationale for some of these beliefs? Do we believe in God? Do we believe in spirit? Do we believe in source? One of the things that I also learned is the law of mind action. One of the Abraham Hicks writings. The law of mind action says that if we put our mind to something, the thoughts are real. Thoughts are things. Thoughts create action and behavior. And if we allow those thoughts to create actions, what happens? If a lot of us have the same thoughts, the same ideas, something might happen. This new, a recent statistic that I've heard a lot about is that if 3.5% of a population have a similar belief and a similar thought and take action, something will happen. For example, if 3.5% of a population, say the world, come up with the same thought or are led to the same thought or belief, we could have world peace, if that's the thought. And that might happen. 3.5% of the world population, that's not a whole lot of people. Seems like it, but it's not. So our thoughts and our actions can lead ourselves and others to take those actions and create those thoughts. I really like that idea. We're creative, our thoughts are creative, their thoughts are things. That's a unity principle also. And I'll read you the other unity principles. Number one, God is all there is. God, spirit, source, whatever you want to call it. If God is all there is, and I'm part of all there is, then I'm part of God. And so are you. Remember the mountain, the pyramids in Mexico that Jackie read about. Thoughts are things. That's another principle. Number four, prayer and meditation are spiritual tools to accomplish those things. And number five, we apply our learning to life and our thoughts and actions to accomplish our actions. Reads kind of like our covenant here at UU, don't you think? I see some similarities there. I have enjoyed being here. I will continue to enjoy being here and in living out that covenant and learning more about similarities and differences between a new thought philosophy and what happens in Unitarian Universalist. I'm very interested. One more thing before I sign off. I was invited also to choose some of the music that's been played today. And so I wanted to tell you about my choices. And I can do this without crying. Wildflowers. We live on Wildflower Way in Swanville. My daughter named that street. And there are wildflowers everywhere. Remember Me from the movie Coco, which was very inspiring. If you haven't seen it, you ought to pull it up and look at it. It's an animated movie. And it has the Rainbow Bridge and the concept of that, and the concept and the holiday of El Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, famous Mexican tradition. It says when, on the Day of the Dead, which is right after Halloween, your departed loved ones come out and play with you and have a big old party. Lots of food, lots of fun. Huge parades in Tucson. It was very fun. The last song that I requested is Imagine. And y'all know the words. You can sing that. Okay? It's the law of mind action. Thank you. Thank you for your indulgence. Thank you very much. Go in peace. You are magnificent.